Imagine you are sitting at a bustling corner cafe.
Just a totally normal Tuesday afternoon.
Right, exactly. You've got a coffee in front of you and your hands are resting completely still in your lap. You look totally relaxed.
Maybe just staring off into space.
Yeah, just watching the world go by. But invisibly, right in front of you are flawlessly typing up a complex essay. Or maybe you are intricately scrolling through a massive rotating 3D architectural model.
And your hands haven't moved a millimeter.
Not 1 millimeter. It sounds completely like sci-fi, right? Well, today is March 5, 2026, and welcome to today's deep dive where we are unpacking how that exact scenario is now just reality.
It really is a staggering transition to witness and to understand the mechanics of how we arrived at this point. We are relying on a truly fascinating source today.
It's a great one.
We are pulling from a highly specialized, incredibly detailed teardown report by Taken Hardware Analysis.
They really went in on
They absolutely did. They have dismantled the current state of spatial computing piece by piece.
So the mission for our deep dive today is to explore why the tech world is declaring 2026 as the year we officially abandon those heavy, isolating VR headsets.
The ones that basically locked you in a box.
Exactly. We are looking at how the industry traded those in for featherweight holographic AR glasses that pair directly with mind-reading neural interfaces.
Which is the real magic trick here.
It is. And the reason you should care about this is how the Tekken report frames the moment we are currently living in. They are explicitly comparing this to the invention of the multi-touch iPhone back in 2007.
That is not a comparison to make lightly.
No, it's not. They call it a violent paradigm shift in human-computer interaction, one that is functionally erasing the barrier between our biological bodies and digital environments.
But setting the stage requires looking at what we just left behind. Because to appreciate the new, you have to understand the old. The report details the transition away from that closed ski goggle era of headsets.
The ones that look like you were going scuba diving.
Right. We were talking about devices that pushed 600 to 650 grams and essentially blindfolded the user to the outside world. Now the architecture has fundamentally shifted to sub-120 gram optical see-through glasses.
Okay, let's unpack this because the physical differences between those two eras are just wild. The Tekken report has a really ruthless assessment of legacy devices. They specifically target the Apple Vision Pro Gen 1 from back in 2024,
They actually frame it as an over-engineered software development kit.
disguised as a consumer device.
Yes, perfectly said.
Okay.
Because when you consider the raw hardware stacked on the front of the user's face, it is staggering.
Just a massive amount of tech.
We are talking about two 4K micro OLED displays,
12 high-speed tracking cameras,
plus the LiDAR arrays,
which are basically laser radar systems mapping your living room in real time.
and don't forget the laptop-class silicon. Specifically, the M2 and R1 chips, all of that balancing right on the bridge of your nose.
Just strapped to your face. And that physical reality is exactly why those headsets failed to achieve mass public deployment.
It is entirely a matter of biomechanical constraints. When you stack dense technology on the anterior plane of a human face, you create brutal rotational torque on the cervical spine.
The neck just wasn't built for it.
Not at all.
Yeah.
The physics simply do not care how flawless the silicon engineering is. Think about how a lever works. A 600-gram weight isn't actually that heavy in your hand.
Right, it's like holding a tablet.
But when it is cantilevered an inch or two off the front of your skull, your neck muscles have to work overtime just to keep your head upright.
So it's less about the static weight and more about that constant exhausting leverage pulling your head forward?
Precisely. The Tekken report notes that continuous operational use exceeding just 90 minutes with those legacy architectures consistently resulted in severe physical fatigue and muscle strain.
Wow.
Human anatomy evolved to support the weight of the human head, not a glass and aluminum computer strapped to the front of it.
So 90 minutes, and you essentially need a chiropractor.
Pretty much.
But reading through the teardown, the sheer weight wasn't even the primary reason people stopped using them. That wasn't the biggest deal breaker.
No, the more insidious issue is what the report terms the scourge of vergence accommodation conflict, or VAC.
VAC.
Yes, this is a fundamental physiological defect of any closed headset design.
Let's break that down for a second because the terminology sounds like a medical diagnosis. How does the source explain this conflict?
The source uses a brilliant analogy to illustrate the biological trap. Imagine wearing a legacy headset and looking at a 3D hologram of a sports car, and it's projected 3 meters away from you in virtual space.
Okay, I see the car 3 meters out.
Your eyes naturally and organically verge, meaning they angle inward toward each other to focus on an object that is 3 meters away. That is what your brain expects to happen based on hundreds of thousands of years of evolution.
So your eyes are pointing at a distant object just like they would if you were looking at a real car parked across the street.
Exactly. But here's the biological contradiction. While your eyes are angled for distance, the physical lenses inside your eyes must simultaneously accommodate, meaning they have to physically alter their shape to focus on a millimeter-thin glass screen that is sitting merely 4 centimeters from your cornea.
4 centimeters. So the brain is receiving 2 entirely conflicting signals.
Yes.
The angle of the eyes says look far away, but the focus of the lens says look incredibly close.
That aggressive, constant contradiction of sensory data systematically breaks human tolerance. It induces motion sickness, cluster headaches, and aggressive ocular fatigue.
It just wrecks you.
The report is blunt about this. It is a biological dead end. You simply cannot trick the central nervous system into ignoring millions of years of evolutionary optics without severe physical consequences.
Which makes total sense of why the screen on the face model had to die. It just had to. But the massive breakthrough of 2026, which surprisingly isn't even the transparent glasses themselves, is how we actually control them now.
The input mechanism.
Right. The industry is finally ditching clunky plastic controllers. And even the optical hand tracking that Apple championed turned out to be fundamentally flawed. I mean, think about the concept of geometric occlusion.
It's a huge problem for cameras.
If a camera has to physically see your hands to know what you are doing, the system completely breaks down the second you put your hands in your pockets, or if they are resting under a desk, or if the lighting is just too dim.
What's fascinating here is how the input problem was solved by abandoning cameras entirely. Meta capitalized on their acquisition of a neural startup called CTRL Labs to introduce an electromyography or EMG neural wristband.
The EMG band?
Yes. This device is the absolute anchor point of the entire spatial strategy we are seeing today.
Visually, it just looks like a standard smartwatch strap. You wouldn't look twice at it. But the raw neuroscience behind what it is actually doing is wild.
It is reading your central nervous system. When you decide to move your finger, your brain sends microscopic electrical impulses down your spinal cord to the motor tendons in your hand.
The actual commands.
Exactly. This wristband intercepts and reads those electrical signals milliseconds before your physical muscles even twitch.
Milliseconds before the actual movement happens. That is incredible. Let's relate this back to the person listening right now. The report introduces these concepts of phantom intent and microgestures.
Because the band decodes your exact intent to move a digit using hyper-optimized localized AI right there on the wrist, You don't have to execute the full physical movement.
You don't have to wave your arms around.
You merely have to intend to move. That brings us back to the cafe scenario we started with. You can execute silent digital telepathy.
Navigating complex operating systems, manipulating 3D objects, sending messages, all while sitting perfectly still in public.
To a bystander, you are just enjoying a coffee.
Just person sitting there. But inside your AR glasses, you're orchestrating a symphony of digital tasks.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to apply a critical thinking lens to this capability. This introduces a profound privacy threat.
A massive one.
We are no longer talking about a piece of hardware registering a mouse click or a keyboard tap. This hardware physically reads raw electrical telemetry directly from your central nervous system.
It is quite literally tapped into your nerve.
And because of that biological intimacy, it harvests data that is infinitely deeper than traditional user interface inputs. The Tekken analysis points out that these neural bands are continuously modeling your psychological tension.
Your stress levels.
Yes. They're tracking biometric tremors and establishing your baseline stress states all day long, streaming this behavioral profile to back-end server nodes. It is an unprecedented level of access to the user's biological state.
That is a terrifying amount of data to hand over to a tech company just to avoid moving a mouse.
It really is.
But to even collect that data, the user has to actually want to wear the AR device all day long in the first place.
Which naturally brings us back to the physical hardware. If the input is solved by the wristband, how do we get a fully powered AR rig to look like standard Ray-Ban frames?
That was the huge engineering hurdle.
How do we get the weight under 120 grams without the processors literally melting our faces off?
The answer is an industry-wide pivot to what is called wireless offloading. The 2026 platforms utterly realized you simply cannot cram a CPU, a GPU RAM, cooling fans, and lithium batteries into the stems of standard glasses frames.
It would be way too thick.
And it is thermally and physically impossible. So the glasses themselves are now just hollow shells.
The idea of them being hollow shells is so counterintuitive to how we've built gadgets for the last 20 years. Everything has always been all in one.
They house merely the microphones, hyperfast eye-tracking IR sensors, and featherweight micro-LED holographic waveguides. That is the entire payload on the face.
Just the bare essentials.
100% of the intense computational rendering and neural AI processing is offloaded. Using the Snapdragon AR2 Elite platform, the glasses utilize hyper-bandwidth dual-channel Wi-Fi 7 to send all that data either to a secondary puck residing in your pocket or directly tethered to your primary smartphone.
It is very similar to how an early smartwatch relied entirely on the phone in your pocket to do the heavy lifting, just scaled up to an incredible degree.
Exactly. This distributed compute model is the sole reason the weight collapsed to that sub-100-gram threshold. But even offloading the processing, generating photorealistic spatial physics, drains immense GPU wattage.
Right, because it takes power no matter where the processor lives. And the software side of this is where the magic really happens. To stop those pocket pucks from overheating and draining their batteries in 20 minutes, software engineers had to completely abandon traditional video game rendering.
They had to leave polygons behind.
I am talking about rasterized polygons. For anyone listening who isn't a game developer, traditional 3D graphics are built out of millions of tiny flat triangles. Polygons.
It's how we've done it for decades.
And it takes massive computational power to calculate the lighting and physics for every single one of those triangles in real time.
The shift in the AI-fueled neural rendering pipelines is a triumph of software engineering. Instead of calculating millions of polygons, they deploy neural rendering algorithms, specifically techniques like Gaussian splatting and generative neural radiance fields.
Wait, Gaussian splatting? That sounds like a messy painting technique. What does that actually mean for the hardware?
It is actually a great metaphor. Instead of building a rigid 3D object out of geometric triangles, Gaussian splatting uses AI to essentially smudge 3D paint blobs.
Mate blobs.
Or mathematical equations representing light and color. It smudges them into a photorealistic scene. It trains a neural network on a few images of an object, and the AI hallucinates the rest of the 3D space.
Wow.
It requires a fraction of the traditional computational power to render an incredibly realistic object.
So the AI is basically faking the 3D geometry instead of manually calculating every angle.
Exactly. Though it is the implementation of foveated rendering that serves as the true battery-saving genius here.
You have to tell them how it tracks the eye because this is wild.
The system uses those IR sensors embedded in the glasses to track exactly where the fovea of the human eye, the very center of your field of vision, is currently fixated.
Where you are looking dead on.
Yes. It then generates maximum 4K fidelity only in that exact tiny spot. Everything else in your peripheral vision is intentionally smudged into low-resolution blurs.
And the craziest part is that you, the user, never even notice the blur. The Tekken report points out that the brain natively hallucinates the difference. Because human peripheral vision is naturally blurry anyway, your brain just fills in the gaps.
It is a perfect illusion.
You are completely unaware that the computer is saving massive amounts of battery power by only rendering a tiny fraction of the screen at high resolution.
It is a perfect example of hardware and human biology working in tandem. The system exploits the biological limitations of the human eye to solve a physics problem in the hardware.
Which is brilliant. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. What do we actually do with this hyper-efficient featherweight spatial computing? Because it is not just about having floating web browsers in your living room.
No, it goes way beyond that.
For one, the Tekken report highlights the definitive end of those flat, exhausting, two-dimensional Zoom grids we've all been trapped in for years.
The report calls this telepresence reborn. It is a total departure from traditional webcams. The AR glasses synthesize data from cameras embedded right into the frames.
And remarkably, these cameras often do not even observe the iris directly.
They merely track the muscle deformations of the wearer's cheek and brow. The system feeds that micromuscular data into deep generative AI.
So it's looking at how your cheeks and eyebrows move, and the AI knows exactly what the rest of your face must be doing.
The result is an instantaneously rendered, utterly photorealistic 3D manifestation of your face. A codec avatar.
A codec avatar.
The source specifically highlights the incredible granular detail here. The AI replicates asymmetric wrinkles, subtle micro-expressions, even perfect dental occlusion.
It knows how your teeth fit together.
Yes. When you are collaborating with a colleague across the globe, the physical sensation mimics sitting in identical physical geography, hovering over identical digital topography.
While collaborating globally is a massive shift, The tech and analysis points out a real-world economic application that is exploding right now. And the front line of this new AR arms race isn't Silicon Valley.
It really isn't.
It's the Persian Gulf. We are talking about Riyadh, Dubai, and Tehran. They have a hyper-connected youth demographics and a massive cultural appetite for luxury tech ecosystems.
The regional developers in the Gulf are the first wave, actively architecting bespoke AR layers over historical landmarks and massive hypermalls. It is the birth of digital tourism and true spatial commerce.
Let's spend some time on this because the contrast is just incredible. Picture this. You're taking a stroll through a stunning traditional Middle Eastern bazaar in Dubai. You can smell the cardamom coffee. You are walking past architecture that is hundreds of years old.
It's a very visceral physical experience.
But through your AR eyewear, the system is autonomously projecting rich holographic historical contexts right over the ancient stonework.
And it is seamlessly blending that cultural heritage with instant commerce. At the exact same time you are absorbing the historical overlays, you are seeing instantaneous retail discounts and dynamic 3D product models anchored directly above the physical facades of the stores you are walking past.
You look at a storefront and a glowing 3D hologram of a new sneaker drops down right in front of you with a personalized price tag.
The physical world becomes a clickable, interactive marketplace.
The report predicts this specific integration is poised to be the definitive engine of the Middle Eastern digital economy by 2027. They are entirely bypassing the desktop and mobile shopping eras and jumping straight into spatial commerce.
This raises an important question, however, about the human cost of this seamless integration. We are entering an era defined by what the report terms the digital isolation paradox.
Because you could be physically standing right next to your friends in that beautiful bazaar, but you are entirely engaged with holographic entities that they cannot see.
You are effectively ghosting your immediate physical reality.
And while you are ghosting reality, the hardware is studying you with a level of precision that is frankly alarming. We discussed the neural wristbands earlier, but the collection of eye-tracking telemetry represents the ultimate privacy frontier.
It really does. Mm-hmm. When you navigate these spatial commerce zones, the eye-tracking data doesn't just show what you clicked on. It shows what you wanted to click on.
It reveals what captured your subconscious attention.
And exactly how long it held your gaze down to the millisecond.
It knows what you are looking at before you consciously realize you are looking at it.
In the hands of algorithmic advertising engines, this telemetry transforms into a lethal weapon for predictive behavioral engineering. It holds the potential to manipulate consumer intent before that intent even fully forms in your conscious mind.
That is heavy.
If the system knows your eyes lingered on a specific luxury watch for 400 milliseconds longer than anything else, it can dynamically alter the holographic environment to push you toward that purchase. Mm-hmm. It is a level of psychological insight that marketers have never had access to.
And it leads directly into the official strategic verdict delivered by the tech and hardware analysis. We're keeping in mind that this is the source's definitive conclusion, and we are impartially reporting their findings. Their verdict is uncompromising.
They state empirically that the claustrophobic closed headset Vector championed by Apple in 2024 was a temporary technological cul-de-sac.
A dead end.
A total dead end. The report claims that software engineers today, who are still obsessing over flat UI elements designed for 6-inch mobile screens, are architecting their own irrelevance.
According to the teardown, the legitimate future of personal computing is ubiquitous ambient augmented reality. It is 3D, deeply context-aware, and operated by raw musculoskeletal intent.
It is a definitive closing of one chapter of computing and the opening of a radically different one.
So what does this all mean? Let's quickly synthesize the incredible journey of this deep dive. We've explored the literal biological limits of our necks and our eyes and how that forced the death of heavy VR headsets.
We unpack the digital telepathy of neural wristbands intercepting our spinal signals.
We look at the clever battery-saving illusions of Gaussian splatting and foveated rendering alongside those distributed compute pucks in our pockets.
And we toured the bustling holographic bazaars of the Persian Gulf driving the new spatial economy.
Throughout all of this, the underlying theme is the absolute necessity of awareness. Navigating this new spatial era requires a rigorous application of critical thinking.
We are trading an unprecedented amount of our biometric data, our stress levels, our muscle impulses, our subconscious gaze. We trade all of that in exchange for unparalleled convenience and immersion. It is a transaction we must be fully conscious of making every single time we put the glasses on.
Which leaves you, the listener, with a final provocative thought to mull over today. If your neural band knows your muscle movements milliseconds before you actually make them, and your eye tracking hardware reveals your subconscious desires directly to algorithmic advertising engines, at what point does a predictive interface stop simply anticipating your choices and start subtly directing them? When the machine knows what you want before you do, who is really driving the avatar? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep questioning the digital and biological world around you, and we will catch you next time.